the glass in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Hey, happy Monday. Not only is it Monday, October 7th, with Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson, it's also roster day around the NHL. At 3 o'clock Calgary time on this Monday, rosters were due around the NHL, and there was plenty of intrigue in terms of what the final 23-player roster was going to look like for the Calgary Flames. This hour of Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully you had a great weekend, and we found out a few things. We found out that Yegor Sharangovich is not on the opening day roster. He's got a lower body injury. He suffered in just the worst timing at the very end of Friday's preseason finale against Winnipeg. So Sharangovich week to week on IR to start the season. Sam Honzek and Matt Coronato have both made the team out of camp. Probably throw Adam Klapka into that mix as well. Jacob Pelche and Devin Cooley both cleared waivers on Monday afternoon and have been sent to the American League's Calgary Wranglers. Cole Schwint did not clear waivers. He was claimed by the Vegas Golden Knights. All of that is to say there's lots to talk about on our Daily Flames Roundtable, which we're jumping into right now. First of all, say hello to Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. Hello, Wes.
Hey, buddy.
And now, Derek Wills joins us as well, the voice of the Calgary Flames, on the Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport. Okay, let's start with what I think is the most positive story of camp, without question. Guys, it's not like we're surprised by this. It's not like we weren't expecting this, but it is now official. Sam Honzek will start the year in the NHL. Just what's our reaction to seeing Sam Honzek on the NHL roster to start the season and almost certainly in the opening night lineup?
Well, not surprised. I mean, he was the star of the preseason for the Flames, and he earned a spot on the team. And you could argue that even without the injury to Yegor Sharangovich, and I feel terrible for him because he was such a huge part of what the Flames did last year at 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill, really touched all areas of the game. So you hate to see him put in all the work that he did during the offseason, trying to build on a career year, to build on the best offensive season by a Belarusian in the history of the National Hockey League, and then he almost get through training camp of the preseason and then suffer that freak injury late in the last preseason game. So hopefully a quick recovery for him. But, you know, even if he doesn't get injured, you could argue that Sam Honzek deserved to be not only on the opening day roster, but in the opening night lineup. The question, I think, prior to the Sharangovich injury was there a spot for him? And quite frankly, it didn't look like it. It looked like he was going to be the 13th forward with Adam Klapka playing on the right side of a line with Kevin Rooney and Ryan Lomberg. So deserved to make the team for sure. And I think deserves to be in the opening night lineup. And unfortunately, it takes an injury for that to likely happen. But you know, the Sam Honzek story, it's such a great one. And it didn't really look like it was trending in that direction, fellas. Didn't look like it was going to have a happy ending, at least not this quickly. Because as we've talked a lot about, looked like a fish out of water during training camp in the preseason a year ago, didn't have a very good season as the captain of the Vancouver Giants, goes to the Young Stars Classic, kind of just blends in, doesn't stand out as a former first-round pick and a guy playing in the tournament for a second time, and then something clicks in Seattle. In the first preseason game, he just looked like a different player against the Kraken and then kept building and building and building in every single practice and every single game after that. So it's a great story. And, you know, watching that docu-series the Flames have done, The Chase, you hear Craig Conroy say in the first episode, if you want a spot, take one. I think it's safe to say, fellas, that that is exactly what Sam Honzek did with a fantastic training camp and preseason.
Yeah, that's precisely the way that you'd put it. And as Ryan Huska summed up today, like he forced their hand. I'm sure through that docuseries that the Flames are working on, we'll get to see ultimately some of the discussions about who would make the opening night roster. And I got to tell you guys, like, I just don't think there's going to be that much debate on Sam Hontzek because of the way he did perform in camp. You know, my colleague, my post-media colleague, Danny Austin, and I, you know, we always have each other read our stories before we submit them to our editors. You know, just, hey, you know, you know what's going on. Do you notice anything in here? And Danny was writing about Sam Hontzek today, and he had a line in his story that said he's arguably been the best player or the best story of Flames camp. And when Danny said to me, you know, anything you change in my story, I just said, well, I'd just take the word arguably out. Because
it's tough to argue.
Because who would you argue, right? Like, who? There were guys who had strong camps, certainly, and there were other young guys who had strong segments of camp, right? Matt Coronato was really good off the hop. Hunter Brustevich has certainly made an impression in the early stages as well. But I think for me, the most impressive thing is the way Sam Hontzek carried it forward. And I remember last year, especially after the injury news went down, I'm not sure if you guys will sort of recall it the same way, but Ryan Huska essentially told us, yeah, we're auditioning Cole Schwint in our last preseason game to be our fourth line center. Like, the opportunity is here. That's who we're watching in this game. And I had that in the back of my mind on Friday, and so I was sort of laser-focused on Sam Hontzek. Mm-hmm. You know, can he play himself off the team? Are there signs tonight, and there were last season with Cole Schwint in that preseason finale, there were signs that he just wasn't ready, wasn't going to be up to it at that point. And I don't say that to, you know, take shots at a guy who was claimed off waivers today. I do think that's a more significant loss for the Flames organization than maybe some people realize. But I watched Sam Hontzek on Friday, and I just thought, he's not going anywhere. Like, he does not look like a guy who's overwhelmed by facing the Winnipeg Jets opening roster. He does not look like a guy who's overwhelmed by the idea that he's 60 minutes away from achieving his goal of making this team. And, you know, I kind of wonder if it's a similar situation to Matt Coronato, where, you know, he hits a bit of a wall in five or six games, and maybe he does need some time in the minors. But, man, good on Sam Hontzek, because to date he has done nothing but say, I'm sorry, guys, I don't care what your plan was, you got to keep me.
Yep. Look, he's been inarguably the best story of camp, no doubt about it, and probably the best story in camp that we've seen in a long time. Just somebody that comes truly out of nowhere, and maybe he's a little less out of nowhere because he's a first-round pick, but I don't have to even bat an eye when I say not one of us saw this coming. Not one of us went into training camp and those first few days saying, geez, I bet you Sam Hontzek's on the opening night roster. He would have been so far down the list for all of us. And yet here he is, and guys has done it fully on merit. Not only has he been the best story, but and because you can write off and you don't really evaluate what a Nazem Kadri or a Blake Coleman or a Michael Backlund or somebody like that looks like in training camp, you don't really care because they're veterans and you know exactly what to expect from them, and you only expect it once the regular season begins. But I mean, guys, Sam Hontzek was their best skater during training camp. Not only is he the best story because he made the team, who was a better skater than him? Who was more consistent? Who obviously the points were there. If you're going to be preaching that it's all about the best players, like, they put Jacob Pelche on waivers despite the risk that went along with it, and the risk ended up not being there because he passed through, but they put Jacob Pelche on waivers because he wasn't one of their 13 or 14 best forwards. They put him on waivers because he was like 17 or 18. And part of that is because Hontzek was one of the 12 or 13 best forwards. And if you're going to be talking about merit and putting the best guys in the lineup who deserve to be there, and you didn't have Hontzek on the opening night roster, yeah, that probably wouldn't have been the way to go. So, it makes nothing but sense that Sam is on the opening night roster, and it's a real success story for the group.
It really is. And to your point, it did kind of come out of nowhere. We've heard from Ryan Huska. We've heard from Sam Hanzek that they're surprised with the success that he had during the preseason. Now, again, you have to take what you see in the preseason with a grain of salt. And we'll see if it carries over to the regular season. But it's funny. I'm not going to name names, but prior to the morning skate, prior to the Flames' preseason debut against the Kraken, so the team practiced at Scotiabank Saddledome and then flew to Seattle that day, I was having a conversation with another member of the media who watches the team almost every day like I do. And I was basically saying, I just don't see it with Sam Hanzek. I don't know what makes him special. I don't see a guy who is worth a first round pick at this point in time. But then that night, things started to change. And as training camp and the preseason went along, they started to change drastically. And I'm like, okay, now I see what the Flames scouts saw in this kid when they invested a first round pick in him. So good on Sam Hanzek. Had to overcome some adversity with a tough training camp and preseason, with an injury, with maybe being derailed by that injury when he went back to junior last season. And then even again at the Young Stars Classic, you know, he talked a little bit about maybe not being as motivated to play in that tournament as he was to be at his best when training camp started. And he certainly has been. So I give the kid all the credit in the world. He's been a great story, and I can't wait to see how this thing plays out as the regular season starts with him presumably on the roster and in the lineup on Wednesday night.
It's a pretty good reminder for everybody, isn't it, about showing like some patience. There are six players from last year's draft class who have played an NHL game at this point, and one of them is named Connor Bedard, who I probably could have, you know, picked out as a scout and said, I think this kid might be onto something here. There were four guys who were regulars in the NHL as 18-year-olds. So the idea that some were ready to sort of write off Sam Hanzek based on an injury-plagued junior season, like, I just think this is a good reminder. Like, let's just take a little bit of a deep breath and give these teenagers just a little bit of time to develop.
Well, and I remember I had a conversation with somebody at a Subway in Penticton about just that. Like, okay, let's just ease back on the 15 months later, the kid's a bust because he had a rough first year, mostly due to injury. So it's just a good story. And yeah, it was not on very many people's radars, but it is now, and he is fully deserving of being on this team to start the season. As we continue our Daily Flames Roundtable, Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Steinberg along with you on this Monday. Guys, waiver news. Two players clear in Jacob Pelche and Devin Cooley. They've both been assigned to the Wranglers to start the season, but Cole Schwint ends up being claimed on waivers by the Vegas Golden Knights. Just overall, what was our reaction to the waiver news of Monday?
Surprised, not going to lie. Surprised that Jacob Pelche was not claimed. But as I said when we talked about this last week, guys, sometimes fans and even sometimes members of the media can overvalue a player because they watch them every day. They get to know them. Geez, it's hard not to like or love Jacob Pelche. He's got such a great personality, and he's one of those guys who you want to cheer for and you want to see succeed. But obviously, Craig Conroy deserves some credit for doing his due diligence and calling around the league to get a feel for what other general managers were looking for and needed, and thought this was the right time to sneak him through waivers, and he clears. And I think that's great news for the organization. Flames get to keep a former first-round pick in the fold. And in certain cases, guys, I would probably suggest that it might not be the best news for the player, that the player could potentially use a fresh start with another organization. But I don't feel that way about Jacob Pelche. He doesn't strike me as a guy who feels like he needs to go to a new team to get a legit shot. I think he had a really bad year. You look at his first 3 years as a professional, 62 points in 66 games with the AHL Stockton Heat. Year number two, spends most of it in the AHL and is more than a point a game player. 37 points in 35 games for the Calgary Wranglers, gets his first taste of the NHL and looks pretty good. Puts up 7 points in 24 games. And then there's the third season, last season. Derailed by an injury in the first preseason game, only wound up playing in 31 regular season games combined between the NHL and the AHL. And, you know, outside of a short period of time when he came off of that shoulder injury and started to look like his old self again, just really couldn't seem to get his feet under him. So really, it's been one bad year for Jacob Peltier, and injuries played the biggest role in what was a down season for him. So I thought that there would be a team out there. I threw the Canadians out there, and I think there were probably some other teams that at least took a look at Jacob Peltier that would roll the dice on him. But hey, I think it's great for the Flames that he gets through and he stays in the organization. As for Devin Cooley, not surprised, guys, that they were able to get him through. He's 27. Yes, goaltenders, generally speaking, take longer to develop than defensemen, and defensemen longer than forwards. But he's 27, and he's played in 6 career NHL games. So, you know, if a team had a real need for a goaltender, and, you know, they saw the same things in Devin Cooley that clearly the Flames, you know, Jordan Sigalette leads that goaltending department and thinks he could potentially be a late bloomer, then, yeah, sure, maybe someone would take a chance. But I think the Flames timed that one well. Didn't see Cole Schwind coming, but the Golden Knights lost some talent during the offseason. They're dealing with some injuries. And we're talking about a former third-round pick who hasn't put up the same numbers that Jacob Peltier has to this point in his career. But I think he's a guy who you play in a different role anyway. When you're taken in the first round, generally teams aren't thinking, we're going to take this guy in the first round and he's going to be a fourth liner or he's going to be a bottom six guy. So I think that Jacob Peltier, even at this stage of his career, if he can find himself again, has a higher ceiling than Cole Schwind. But I think Cole Schwind, he can be a fourth line centerman in this league. And I think he was pushing Kevin Rooney for that spot here in Calgary. Flames decide to go with Rooney and not Schwind, at least to start the season. But you know, I think that that's what he projects to be. He projects to be a bottom six forward, a right-handed centerman. Teams are always looking for those guys. He's got pretty good size. He's put up decent numbers at the AHL level. But he's a guy who I think can play at the NHL level without the expectations that he's going to be a top six guy and he's going to be a big-time point producer. So the more I've kind of thought about it today, I guess I'm not all that surprised that the Golden Knights rolled the dice on Cole Schwind. And we'll see how he does with this new opportunity he's been given.
I started scouring yesterday, you know, just out of my own curiosity, looking at some depth charts, wondering, I wonder if there are teams out there that might take a shot at Jacob Peltier. And I had the Vegas Golden Knights as one of the teams I sort of wondered about because, you know, they have some holes on their forward cast. I looked at them and said, I wonder if this is a team. And so I just wanted to point that out as more evidence of what a, you know, smart hockey mind I am. I had the team, just not the player. I didn't have the player, okay, but I had the team. I've said on this program, I've written for Post Media, I've said on social media, I thought there was a risk involved with putting Jacob Peltier on waivers. I wondered if that was an asset that the Flames would lose. I mentioned he was a recent first-round pick, that this is a team that wants to be younger and faster, and I think he checks those boxes. And we're going to hear from Craig Conroy next. I know exactly what he's going to tell us, which is that Jacob Peltier, it's not going to do him any good to sit and watch hockey, that he needs to be playing games, that he, you know, needs to kind of rediscover his game after what was a bit of a lost season last year. And so, you know, while I kind of wondered aloud more than once if this would be a risk that the Flames would regret taking because they wouldn't have Jacob Peltier anymore, I am curious now to see what that reset could do for him. Like there's a lot of intriguing tools there, starting with the speed, with the energy, with the fact that you're not going to meet a more positive person. And I still think Jacob Peltier can be a part of what they're building here.
It's funny. I mean, on the Cooley front, I'll make it short and sweet because we don't have a ton of time. On the Cooley front, I think, and I don't think there's any coincidence that when the Flames signed him, they knew they might run into a situation where they have to put somebody on waivers because Dustin Wolf, as much as he doesn't need waivers, earned himself a spot on the team. Well, Dustin Wolf might have been the best goalie for him in training camp, earned himself a shot on the team, as he should. But that second year on a one-way contract for Devin Cooley, like there is a little bit of there is something strategic on that, as much as, hey, he's a part of the, they see him as part of being the future. Because if you did have to put him on waivers, that becomes a little less attractive for a team to claim if they're only looking for something short term. On Schwint, I think it shows the value of a big right shot center who is what, still 23 years old. So I think that when you think about that, did I wake up expecting Schwint to be the one of the three to get claimed? Maybe not, but then you think about it, you're like, yeah, well, a Vegas team, Carlson hasn't been playing and they've got some issues there. Okay, could see how Schwint was claimed. And then on Pelche, you do, like, I think this was another one of those moves that was not just done flippantly or anything like that. Like, there was a lot of research done. There was a lot of talk about the timing and all that type of stuff. And I think you would expect that, hey, if there would calls be made, like, hey, is there any interest? I think you might, at the very worst, have a pretty good idea that if you send him on waivers, he might be able to get through. And I don't think that you make a decision like that lightly with a first-round pick, and it does help slightly alleviate the logjam when it comes to your American League blue line by keeping eight defensemen at the NHL level. So, you know, when it's all said and done, I was slightly surprised at the outcome, but then you start to think about it a little bit and have some conversations. You're like, okay, yeah, it kind of makes sense when it's all said and done. And I'll just echo Wilsey before you get the last word in here that, having Pelche go to the American League, we heard from Trent Call, like, it just an opportunity to go down there, get his confidence back, and who knows, maybe in 2 months he's back playing in the NHL, and this whole talk about him going on waivers to start the season, we never talk about it again. That's kind of what the ideal would be.
Yeah, and I mean, if anybody's going to go down there and have a great attitude, it's Jacob Pelche. And we learned last season from Connor Zeri that, yeah, sometimes you get kicked in the teeth. How are you going to respond to it? Well, Connor Zeri responded the right way, came back up, and he'll never go back down again. So maybe the same thing happens with Jacob Pelche. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, he's a really good kid. He's got talent, and I think we're going to see him back at the NHL level at some point in time. And just to wrap things up, I don't know if this was or wasn't a factor, but I kind of feel like Craig Conroy did the right thing for the player here. You know what I mean? Like, Jacob Pelche is 23 years old, lost more than half of last season because of that shoulder injury, and then he comes back and gets knocked out by the hardest slash dirtiest hitter in the league and the captain of the New York Rangers and Jacob Trouba. So it was a bad season for him, but the best thing for Jacob Pelche at this point in time in his career isn't to sit in the press box and watch games. It's to play hockey games and to try to find himself and, as you said, get his confidence back. So I feel like Craig Conroy was doing the best thing for Jacob Pelche and hoping it would work out for the Calgary Flames. And I think that it has worked out for the team, and I hope it works out for the player as well.
Thank you, Wilsey. We'll do it all over again on Tuesday, hey?
Okay, guys. Have a good night.
He is Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that is your Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames Talk on a Monday. It's October 7th. From the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in the Hot Stove Lounge on roster day around the league. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Monday. Wes, the rosters have been submitted for all 32 NHL teams now. The roster deadline, as we're sitting here just after 4 o'clock and in the 4 o'clock hour on a Monday, rosters were set and needed to be submitted around the league for 3 p.m. Calgary time, and that has now happened. And I think the biggest story here, the biggest thing that deserves some real love, and there is definitely some news, but Sam Hanzek's on the team.
Sam Hanzek is indeed, and I don't think we're surprised by that. I don't think this is something we weren't anticipating. I think we've basically known that this is going to be the case, and I think the Flames have basically been at this. We've been telling you since about early last week that this was the way this was moving, and the Flames had kind of made it their thought that he had to play himself out of a role.
Right.
But now he's on, and it's official, and with a brand new number, number 29, which he was wearing at morning skate or practice on Monday. This is significant because I don't think there is a single person who follows this team as a fan or as a broadcaster or as a writer or any even people involved in, and internally with this team. Did anybody see this coming? Did anybody see Sam Hanzek cracking the opening day roster? Because I know I didn't, and it was not something I had on my bingo card coming into training camp 2024.
No, absolutely not. And what a credit to Sam Hanzek at age 19 that it wasn't even a question today, was it, buddy?
No.
Like, there was no, oh, geez, I wonder if Sam Hanzek will be on the opening roster. I wonder what we can expect at 3 p.m. Monday when that roster deadline drops. I wonder if we'll see Sam. Like, it was a no-brainer. And Sam Hanzek made it that for the Calgary Flames, for Ryan Huska, for Craig Conroy. And you're right. It's something I asked Ryan Huska about today. You know, take us back 3 weeks. What would have been your plan for Sam Hanzek? And he made reference to how getting sent back to the Wranglers would be sort of the start of getting him ramped up to play more minutes and, you know, to take on a heavier workload. So the fact he was holding court today in the Flames locker room, really funny joke about, you know, how Martin Pospisil is planning a trip to Mexico for the Four Nations tournament break and said, yeah, you're coming with us. You're going to be playing with the big boys this season. Don't worry about whether you're going to have a break in the schedule then. Like, that, what a great story. I've been doing this 13 years, like, full-time on the beat. You've been around on a full-time basis even longer. And I'm not sure I can think of a better preseason story.
Especially one that comes so fully out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That you didn't see coming. Because even coming out of that Young Stars where I thought Hanzek looked okay but not great, I was like, okay.
Sort of ramped up to okay.
Yeah. By the end, you're like, okay, yeah, it was an okay showing. And then my feel was, hey, you know, this is going to be a really big year for Sam in the American League. 20 years old soon and an opportunity to play a full season of professional hockey for the first time. And then, you know, right from the get-go, that first game in Seattle, the Sunday night game to open up the preseason where he had a few points that night, it just kind of started to build. And honestly, I think that I come away, and not only because it's a story, but also just because you think about who is the best player in camp? It was probably Sam Hanzek, at least the best skater. You know, you could point to the goalies and how well they played, and they did. But if you're asking me, the best skater in this camp was Sam Hanzek, and he's earned this opportunity. And we'll see. And we're going to hear a little bit from Ryan Huska and from him in just a second. But we'll see. Maybe this isn't an 82-game thing. Maybe this is similar to what we saw with Matt Coronato last year, who was – similarly, the story throughout training camp,
right,
made the team, and a month later was moved to the American League and spent most of last year with the Wranglers. Maybe that's exactly what happens here with Sam, but there's no guarantees that's what happens either.
I think, you know, when I talk about him being maybe the best, Coronado is a great example you raise. When I talk about Sam Hanzek being maybe the best story in preseason I've covered, you know, I look at two things, as we've talked about already. This is a guy who was not way off the radar in terms of profile, but no, you know, there was no, oh, is this a guy who could be on your projected roster? Like, if you went and found 30 projected rosters for the Calgary Flames, you wouldn't see Sam Hanzek on any of them. It was just assumed after a really tough last season of junior, an injury-plagued last season of junior, it was just assumed, you know, the next step is Calgary Wranglers and give the kid some time. So there's that part of it. You know, no one expected this to be something we'd be talking about today. The other part is, you know, I think back to other training camp surprises, like, you know, Josh Juris's name pops out for me for some reason as a guy
10 years ago.
Yeah, who came in and nobody thought that we'd be talking about Josh Juris making the team. Sam Hanzek has an opportunity to not just be on the team. Like, Sam Hanzek is going to be playing on the top line Wednesday night in Vancouver.
No Yegor Sharangovich to start the season.
Right.
He's on IR. He had been pretty much buckled to that spot throughout training camp with Kadri and Kuzmenko. Well, that's Hanzek's spot right now. That's
right.
Where Sam Hanzek skated on Monday morning.
And you're going to see him in the net front spot on the second power play unit. Like, Sam Hanzek is going to get an opportunity, and I love the way you framed it. We might be talking in 3 weeks about Sam Hanzek on his way to the minors because he needs a little more time. But Sam Hanzek, based on what he earned in these past few weeks, is going to get every opportunity to not just open the season on the roster. He's going to be put in position to really make a difference for this team.
Yep. This was just a little bit of head coach Ryan Huska when he spoke with us on Monday following practice. This is before rosters were made official, but we all knew which way this was going to go. This was head coach Ryan Huska on Monday morning.
Sam Hanzek, the best story of camp in your eyes?
He'd have to be one of them, for sure. Probably because it seemed like everybody had him written off before we even started. And he came in and he did a lot of great things for us. And the one thing that was important was the size and speed that he played the game with, where he was assertive, even as a young man. He didn't look at all out of place when he played against the better competition. He was still driving. He was still trying to get hard on pucks. And you could see his coaching staff that he was responsible with what he was trying to do on the ice. So I'm really happy for him. He did a lot of great things, and he's deserving of starting with our team to start the season.
What made him the right choice to kind of put in for Sharon Gomez?
And that's something that could change every day. But when you look at trying to put your lines together, Cads and Kuzi have great chemistry together. We know that. The other part of that line last year that was really good was when Marty was on that line. Marty has straight line speed, very similar to what Hanzi has. So they have sort of the same characteristics. So it kind of made sense for us to try him there. And now we'll see how we go tomorrow and how we go the next day. But I think just the way those two players were similar in a way with the size and speed that they play with, we thought it might work well with Cads and Kuzi.
If we'd asked you 3 weeks ago what the plan was with Sam Hanzek, like what did it look like before he came in and did what he did?
Yeah, we were going to give him every opportunity to play games to start with. We didn't have a set number of games in mind for him, but we really were anticipating was a real hard push for him once he got to the Wranglers. To be quite honest with you, we knew, like I said, he was going to get opportunities in games to prove his worth, but we wanted to get him in every situation we possibly could with the Wranglers. But he's forced our hand a little bit, and that's what I love about him. Like, he still has the same kind of demeanor this morning as he had the first day of camp, so it's pretty cool to see.
Yep, and Sam Hanzek is without question the story of training camp, and it was pretty cool to hear him and see him speak inside the locker room. Big smile on his face when he spoke with us on Monday morning and was asked about his reaction to being an NHLer for the first time.
I mean, I still didn't really process it, you know, it wasn't official till this morning. And the practice, but my first thing was where I saw myself like last year or where I was, and I'll compare basically year after like where I'm now.
Does it? I mean, it has to literally be like a dream come true, right?
Yeah. It's like everyone's dream, like you said, but you know, now it's another step to like become a like full time NHL player. So it's great that I made it, but now just be consistent and show that I deserve this spot.
Can you compare the feeling that you had when you left camp last year here to where you are right now?
It was very different feeling, like last year camp was either NHL and junior, and I knew I'm not going to start NHL, so it was kind of like sad. But now I knew, and all summer, and you know, even Poppy helped me, you know, every day. I was just like, hey, you're making NHL, you're making NHL this year, you know, don't even think about it, you'll be a in AHL. Even like we were joking about like there's a four nation tournament, so there's a break in February, 2 weeks, and he's like, oh, like we're going to Mexico. He's like, you coming with us? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And he goes like, no man, you coming, you're we're gonna be with the big boys. And I'm like, okay, it's gonna be great, so we'll go. So but yeah,
like in terms of that next step, do you have a pretty good feel as to now what it takes to stick and be an everyday guy in the NHL?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would say playing with those with Kat and Kuzi, it's gonna be a big thing for me. You know, they're really good and top NHL players, so I'm gonna try to learn a lot, you know, and be really good with them, and you know, play my game and kind of help them to become good players, a good line, and so they help me hopefully.
Sam, Ryan Huska said something a couple preseason games ago. He said, you know, it wasn't long ago people were saying on the outside, hey, what's going on with Hanzek? You know, what's happening? How did you sort of tune that out and keep the belief in yourself when other people were maybe wondering?
I would say, you know, I wouldn't happy. You know, I would agree with those people. You know, it wasn't me, right me, or like the true me that why I was drafted first round. So, you know, I would say that was kind of like, I would say tough to hear or see, but you know, I knew it's true, and I can say that I could tell the same thing as the people outside, that you know, this is not the first round or who was supposed to be, but you know, but that kind of pushed me through, and you know, I just stay focused, and you know, I want to prove to everyone that I'm worth the first pick, and or sorry, first round pick, and you know, I'm a good player.
So what was key to you using that the right way? Like some guys would get maybe down on themselves. It sounds like you use that to sort of motivate you. How'd you do that?
Yeah, I basically, you know, kind of like even the before when I played still in Slovakia as a young kid, I used to kind of think, you know, people are criticism, but, you know, I try to, you know, flip it to my advantage, you know, and push myself in the gym and off the ice on the ice. So, and it helped me a lot, you know, even Pospi, you know, he didn't know me till the last year basically, and you know, and he's still sort of saying like you're a good player, so that kind of pushed me through.
That is Sam Hanzek, who is on the team to start the season for the Calgary Flames. Pretty cool story, good for him.
Yeah,
and he deserves it, because he really, it would have been hard not to put him on with the camp that he had, and you know, when you're preaching about best team available and meritocracy and all that type of stuff, to send Sam to the American League, that just and to not let him start at the NHL level this year, and who knows where this thing goes, but to not have him on the NHL roster to start the year, it would have kind of flown in the face of the message that the organization is putting forward. So yeah, it just makes perfect sense that he's here to start the year with the Flames.
Yeah, seems like a pretty easy kid to root for too, doesn't he?
Yeah,
like you know what he's I don't even know if gone through is the right way to put it, but you know, when this young man was 18 and a half years old, there were some people who were ready to sort of label him a
bust.
Yeah, or at least a first round disappointment. You know, there was this rush as he dealt with an abdominal injury last fall that sort of carried into winter. You know, as he had sort of a so-so performance at World Juniors, as his junior numbers weren't what people expected, there was this rush to say, well, geez, what were the Calgary Flames thinking? You know, I know we're going to have Craig Conroy on later today. I had a chat with him a few minutes ago, and he said, like, I hope this is a good reminder for people. You have to be a little bit patient sometimes.
Yep.
And we're talking about a little bit patient.
Yep.
Like, this kid was
been
drafted
15 months
yep. ago. But yep. Good on him. He flew in from off the radar, and he left the Calgary Flames, as Ryan Huska said, no choice but to put him on the team.
Yep. It's Pat and Wes. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk, and it is a Monday, and we're very happy to tell you that, just like last year, very, very happy on Mondays to also have the head coach of the American League's Calgary Wranglers on with us here on Flames Talk, and Wranglers training camp well underway for them getting ready to start their season, and the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers is the one, the only, Trent Cull.
Cole, who joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Mr. Cole, it's good to have you back on, my friend. How we doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's good to be back. It's getting closer and closer, that's for sure. So that's an exciting time.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and we're happy that we get to pick your brain once a week. We really enjoyed doing that last year. How's camp been so far? How's your camp as it's been going now for a little more than a week?
Yeah, no, it's been good. You know, we've had kind of a trickling of guys here and there showing up, and then we made some cuts last Friday, and then we had the day off yesterday, and so today, just a couple new faces too, and so it was nice to. It seems like every day our practice level is getting better and better with some of the guys kind of trickling down from the Flames team.
What goes in, because you talk about it like it's kind of like that slow trickle. You started with a small number of guys, and then it gets a little bit bigger. Then four more are added here. Like what you've done American League camps, you've done NHL camps before. What goes into an American League camp that's a little bit different than what we'd see at the NHL level?
Well, as what happens all the time at our level, adversity. We know that we make a plan for potentially two groups, one group, a very small group. So we put a lot of planning into our camp, that's for sure, and a lot of it is goes to the wayside. But just because you never know what your numbers are going to be, you never know if there's going to be injuries in camp. And for us, we don't have any preseason games, right? So we had kind of an inter-squad game there last week on Friday, which is as close as we get. It's the same thing that happened with us last year. And you can, you know, it's a lot of work putting those together. And it's tough at this level. I mean, I know me and Brad Pascal have talked about this, but in the sense of, like, how do you plan for a preseason game when you don't even know how many guys you're going to have, right? So that's just the situation it is. And we have another 4 days, today being that fourth day, that of getting it kind of cranked up for our home opener on Friday.
So I'm curious as to there's a lot of really interesting things that are happening with your group as you get the season started this weekend, Trent. And you know, I guess we'll start with one of the big pieces of news around the organization here on this Monday. Jacob Pelche clears waivers and will start the season with your team. And Jacob's been very, very honest. You know, he talked about how he didn't want to go on waivers and how he really wanted to stay up with the big team if possible. I'm just curious now from a coaching standpoint and a development standpoint, what goes into having Jacob on the team to start this year as you and your group try to, you know, get him back to a little bit of a higher level?
Yeah, no, you know what? I don't think Jacob is any different than probably the last week of guys that have come down, right? They all want to play for the Flames. They all want to stay in Flames land. And so, you know, that's just how it goes. There's a little I guess there's a little period there where you have to kind of reevaluate, kind of reset, and then you're getting back. And the good thing is that we can offer here is we can offer ice time, we can offer opportunity to play, and an opportunity to get your game back to, like you said, the best level that it can be. And whether it's Jacob or the other guys that are here as well, and so, and with that too, we're going to have some healthy competition within our ranks. That you know what, we've got a bunch of good players here, and so we're excited to have them. We're excited to have Jacob, and Cools is now coming down as well, and so you know, we're also going to miss Cole Schwinted, you know, and so, but things, different things, but that's the adversity of us, right? So we're just kind of sitting there by the phone, you know, waiting for that thing to ring. You know, it's like waiting for your the girl at school to call you when you went home at night, but maybe she didn't. So.
I find it so interesting, and you've gone through this so many times. You've talked to players who are disappointed when they join the team, and it's your job to get them right back up to speed and get them focused on playing meaningful games at your level, and which is still a very, very high level. What, in your experience coaching at this level, Trent, what goes into, whether it's a guy like Jacob or anybody else, what goes into helping a guy get his confidence level back at the AHL level? What can you do as a coach to kind of affect that?
Well, I think it's something that you don't need to do too much early. Like, I mean, the last thing if a guy's walking through the door is say, hey, how are you feeling? Well, you know, how do you think I'm feeling, right? So it's one of those things that what I've I guess you'd say, developed over the years is let them get back into the group first, let them have a couple practices and get around the guys a little bit. And then they start to realize that, oh boy, you know, this is exciting. I've got some pretty good players I'm playing with. So then there creates a little internal excitement right there with that. So knowing that, hey, this is a really good line, or hey, this could be a really good power play unit or something like that. And so that's where you let that foster a little bit, and then you come see them after a couple of days and check in with them. And then, you know, how are they doing? What's going on? What's the mindset? You know, and I don't think this is something where it's, this is what we're going to do. It's more like, hey, what do you think is the best plan? And then I think it's one of those things that you work with the player. I mean, these guys are all good players if they're coming down at this point. So we know that a lot of times it's not drastic changes. It's
right.
Just a little bit of fine-tuning. We want to make sure that they're part of that plan, and we do it together.
Well, and as you know, and it's, you know, you're in that situation where you know what the circumstances is, but you're also trying to win games. I mean, you get a guy like Jacob who's essentially a point per game guy at your level. That's not a bad thing for you as the coach, hey?
Not a bad thing at all. Like, and I'm selfish. I like that. You know, I like good hockey players. I love coaching good hockey players, and we like getting guys better too. You know, I say that with the group, but. Our goal as a staff is to get the guys playing to the best of their ability, but also, you know, put some best year ever, you know, like that's what we want to have. And so then it makes it so these guys, our goal is to get them back to the Flames. And if we're doing that, then we're doing something right. And if I'm getting the best out of a hockey player here, that means our team's doing well too. So it's always a win-win for us.
We're chatting with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers in the American League. They start their season this weekend as their training camp continues this week. Trent joined us Mondays here on Flames Talk. Devin Cooley joining your group as well. And now you've got a goaltending tandem, perhaps, of Cooley and Ignatiev. You've got Connor Murphy in the mix as well. I'm just curious, you know, you had Dustin Wolf and Oscar Dansk last year. It's going to be a little bit different this year, but how are you feeling about your goaltending tandem right now?
Yeah, very, like you said, it's like a trio right now, you know, and I mean, like, Murph has had quietly had a great camp for us here, you know, and I know that, you know, Valtteri, he's been working his way and getting the use to all the things. They've had a great start in Penticton and got some time, you know, in some preseason games, so, and then, you know, Logan, I mean, or sorry, Devin's done a great job, right? I mean, he's, look how well he's played and kind of how many eyes he's opened up lately, so, it's certainly a win-win-win, and you know, I wish we had more nets for these guys, right? Because they're all really good goaltenders, and but we're excited to have them. It'll be and for us too. We want to make sure the guys are playing well and guys are up and running. Because if something happens with the Flames, we want to be able to make sure the guys ready to get the call up and go perform there as well.
You, it's funny. I just wanted to ask you one question about Valtteri Ignatiev. I remember talking to you in Penticton, and he was going to play his first game, start that one game that you played on the, I guess it would have been on the Saturday. And you basically said, well, yeah, we're excited to see him, but hold on. Like, this is his first time playing North America. Let's not put too many expectations on him. And then he goes out there and didn't look like he was playing his first game on North American ice ever. Looked like he'd been playing at that ice surface his entire life. What have your impressions been of Ignatiev going all the way back to the Okanagan?
No, it's been good. He's I think he's a quick learner. Like, he's a mature, still a young guy, but still a mature guy. And so, you know what, I think it's been a great experience for him, just how it's all worked from Penticton to NHL camp and then coming now to us. So it's been, I think it's been a real good, like, I guess, break-in period for him with North America, right? And so, but that all being said, it always comes down to games and getting that game play in. And that's the one thing that, you know, unfortunately, this is all we've had, and we haven't had preseason games, et cetera, here. So, but I, you know what? I've liked his curve. I've liked the way he's been, his battle. I like the way he's been working at everything. And so I think, I got a great problem right now. I got three goalies that can all play in the American Hockey League, that's
yep.
for sure.
Trent, a little earlier you mentioned the name Cole Schwindt. He was claimed on waivers earlier on Monday by the Vegas Golden Knights, so he'll head to a new organization. Just give a quick thought on Cole and what he meant to your group last year and just how much of a loss that might be for your squad.
Well, there's always situations when guys go on waivers, right? And that's one of those guys that Bull's still a young hockey player. I thought he had a real good playoff run for us last year, and I thought maybe kind of opened some eyes there. The other side of that, he's a 6'2", 6'3" right shot centerman, which, you know, they don't grow on trees. And so there's a lot of really good things and kind of exciting things around Cole. And that's where I could see why a team would take a chance with him. Right. So, and that's unfortunately not everybody gets to stay. Not everybody gets through waivers, but I'm happy for him personally. He's a good kid. I'm excited for, you know, a new challenge for him. And it's always nice when someone else wants you too, right? That means they've recognized that the work you've done, and hopefully, you know, we've done a good job with him, and I wish him all the best.
Just a few more with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, number one affiliate of the Flames. He joins us Mondays on Flames Talk. You take a look at your defense depth chart, and right now you've got some numbers down there, Trent. You've got a couple veterans in Jared Tenorti and Jonathan Aspero, and you've got those six prospects, and you've got some young players that you're going to want to work into the lineup. I'm just curious as to what goes in when you've got 8-9 guys down there and playing time. You can only have 6 or 7 a night. I'm just curious as to what goes into managing a really stacked blue line.
You know what? I'm going to use the same thing I said before. It's a great problem to have, but this is the first week of the American Hockey League and the first week of the NHL. And so what happens is that, you know, we haven't had too many injuries or any issues, you know, through camp this year, you know, and then all of a sudden you get into the season and, you know, you're scratching your head a lot because you're like, boy, how does this guy not play? You know what I mean? But there's a lot of guys that are knocking on the door to play and have to play, and, you know, and it's such a tough thing. And so, and then the bad thing is sometimes for me is I got to go tell a guy that he's not playing. And that's that's kind of tearing their heart up, which really stinks. Right. But yeah, the back end, it looks great. I mean, I'm really happy with the mix of, like you said, the veterans we have. We have young guys that have very promising futures ahead of them. And so, and then how do you groom those guys? Well, they got to play, right? So that's the situation we're in right now, especially to start the weekend. And then we'll see where it probably, you know, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, I'll probably be dying for defensemen and we won't have anybody and we'll have to go find one. You know what I mean? So but that's unfortunately, that's just how the business goes.
I did mention the name Jared Tenorti there. There's a guy who has played plenty in the American League, plenty in the NHL as well. He's a guy who has nothing but experience. What does a guy like that bring to your blue line and just bring to your locker room, period?
It's great. I mean, first of all, just having a conversation with Jared, he's just a huge dude. You know what I mean? He's a great big guy, and he's a presence. And I think that's a great presence for us to have on the ice, and especially the other side of that too. I think it's really good for some of our young defensemen to be all sitting there playing with a guy who's been in the NHL. He's played with other young defensemen before, but I'd like to have that presence with one of these young guys to be able to kind of help him along, mentor him along, and not just the guy he's playing with, but the other group and around him too. Like, it's great. It's great for our group, and he's a guy who, you know, plays a hard style too, and he's difficult to play against. So I think it's really good to have those guys around, our younger guys, like you said, that are going to get some ice time and see their way through their early starts of the AHL career.
You've got some players who might be kind of making their debuts in pro hockey and playing their first pro hockey season. I think of Lipinski, I think of Brustevich, and you know what the learning curve might be like for them. You had a few of those last year as well. If like we're talking about young 20-year-olds who are jumping into this league for the first time from junior hockey, how much of a learning curve can there be for somebody in that situation?
Well, the great thing is, we always try to do the best you can every year, and it's always different. But it was awesome now when you look back and you see the two rounds of playoffs that we had last year, and these guys were around for that. And so they were around, they were here, they were practicing, they got to feel it a little bit, and maybe they didn't get into a game. But so, and then they come back this year, and then they start in Penticton, and they come and play preseason games with the Flames, and then they come and have camp. So I feel like it's a real good kind of slow build to the start of the season. And, yeah, like are these guys going to have some hiccups? Absolutely, for sure. And that's what it's all about. But that's why they're here. That's our job, to work with these young guys. But it's always exciting, too. And you know, we've got to see some of these guys even more playing in some of the – some guys have played quite a few preseason games with the Flames. So it kind of makes it more exciting, too, because you're like, wow, like these guys could maybe step in and help us out right away and be kind of factors in games immediately. And some other guys that might take a little bit more time, too, which is fine as well.
Trent, how you just overall, how you feeling about the coming year? How you feeling about getting this season going? And how are you feeling about the squad? You've only got a few more days until you're playing games for real.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I couldn't help myself. We had a practice, you know, with a smaller group on Saturday, and I was like, wow, this is exciting. And then you come today, and you got a couple different guys on the ice, and then, you know, now we'll come to the rink tomorrow and you'll have a couple more different guys on the ice. So it's exciting to get to that stage where, hey, we're moving along in the right direction. Now you see different faces coming in. And so now, yeah, like as a coach, you know, I've been doing it for a while too, but I'm excited now. And so now you want to have a great week of practice, and then you can't wait. I just want to push them on the ice and can't wait to see how we look in the game. And it'll be exciting. I'm really excited for us this weekend for sure.
Well, it's two games this weekend here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, both against the Abbotsford Canucks. We're looking forward to your group getting going. Trent, we're looking forward to having you on with us on Mondays once again this year. Thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend. We'll be looking back at hopefully a successful opening weekend when we talk next week. Thanks for doing this, hey?
Oh, no, I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, look forward to another year, that's for sure. All right, well, thank you very much, Pat.
Thanks, Trent. Appreciate it, man. That is Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He joins us Mondays here on Flames Talk, and he joins us, as always, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home? Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344.